The gospel for today from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 9. This is Peterson's version called The Message. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. The prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Jesus called 12 of his followers and sent them into the ripe fields. He gave them power to kick out the evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. This is the list of the 12 he sent. Simon, they called him Peter or Rock, Andrew his brother, James, Zebedee's son, John his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the taxman, James son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who later turned on him. Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands out with this charge. Don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers, and don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. Don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment, and all you need to keep that going is 3 meals a day. Travel light. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray that your Spirit will move freely among us this day, and that we would be such a people that we would risk much for you and your good news. In your name we pray. Amen. Our retired bishop, Pete Weaver, loved Peterson, and he would always read from Peterson's version of the Bible. And sometimes I just love him, and other times I think he gets in his own way. I love these words, though. Don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. Travel light. Travel light. That's good advice. A small cloud of dust kicked up by sandaled feet on a distant road. Maybe that was the first sign. One person sees it, maybe a little kid. She's out tending the goats of the family, and she runs home and tells her mother, and she calls her husband, and he says something to the neighbors, and pretty soon the word gets out, the traveling Jesus show is coming to town. Drop what you're doing, grab the kids, check out Rabbi Jesus and his fabulous cast of curious characters. Like Peterson probably would like that. And we're not exaggerating either, because Jesus probably was the greatest show in town. He was famous throughout Galilee, we know that. Of anyone except for John the Baptizer, he was probably the most dynamic religious leader of his day. John's in jail by this time, and so nobody can hold a candle to Rabbi Jesus. And what a flock he has gathered to be his closest companions and workers. Leather-skinned fisherman, a tax collector, for heaven's sake, a Canaanite with a funny accent, and a disciple with watchful, cunning eyes, Judah of Cariot. That would be Judas Iscariot in Greek. Surprising number of women mixing right in with the men. Some of them are not even wives. Why aren't they home doing something useful? It's where women are supposed to be, right? And at the center of this glorious mess, taking it all in with a smile, is Jesus of Nazareth and the things that happened. You know the story as well as I do. signs and wonders, miraculous healings, bold interpretations of Torah, unhappy people discovering a reason to live, a bigger-than-life kingdom party for everyone. Now I ask you, what could be bigger or better or more exciting than that? Is it not the best thing in the world? A while back I read a story about how one of the leaders of the emergent church, you've heard of emergent churches? They're non-traditional, postmodern seekers churches. They often meet in homes and schools and such. How he got into Christianity. He wasn't raised in the faith, and he came into it late. And he started attending a large Protestant church, and he heard for the first time the amazing stories of what Jesus did, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, raising the dead. And he went to church for a couple of weeks, and after a couple of services, he screwed up the courage to grab the senior pastor. And he said, "When does it happen?" The pastor, "When does what happen?" With all sincerity, the new Christian said, "When do the sick get healed? When do the hungry get fed? When are the dead raised?" And you know, we might laugh at his naivete, perhaps because we're in the habit of not expecting too much of dear old Jesus anymore. And you know, we might own that that's not such a good thing, but we also acknowledge that there's an unspoken benefit to that. Because if we don't expect too much of dear old Jesus, then what? We don't have to expect too much of ourselves either. When do the sick get healed, and the hungry get fed, and the dead get raised? For me as a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I can only witness to my experience or talk about the experience of others, for me as a disciple, I have found that I can believe in Jesus or I can believe in something less. I can believe in something less. I can believe in my natural abilities, and whatever they are, God gave those anyway. I can believe in the stock market this week. I can believe in the promises the Democrats make or the promises the Republicans make. And we'll have to make a decision on Election Day, won't we? We'll have to make a decision. Oh, by the way, I've got a new definition for political discourse. You want to hear it? Political discourse is the art of saying next to nothing in 10 million words or less. But we'll believe. We'll make a decision on Election Day. I can believe in the promises of science. I can believe in Tom Brady's throwing arm. Yeah. I can believe in Jesus or I can believe in something else. And everything else is somehow less. Not necessarily untrustworthy, mind you. You know, I'm counting on Tom Brady to get the job done this afternoon. I believe. No, not necessarily untrustworthy so far as it goes, but somehow less. This morning we read Paul's prayer from Ephesians, but it wasn't just for the church in Ephesus, it was for every church, but it was for us. And he wrote, "I pray that according to the riches of his glory, you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit. I pray that you may know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." I don't know that I can imagine that. Can you imagine being filled with all the fullness of God? What would that be like? What would that be like? And he concludes his word with this remarkable benediction, which begins, "To him by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Did you hear it? To him by the power at work within us is able to accomplish more than we can ask or imagine. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the unimaginable? Imagine it. Imagine it. To me, it's a little bit like trying to find a lost something. Something you've lost and have looked everywhere and just can't find. Don't you hate losing things? Don't you hate it? I never lose anything, but yeah, it makes you crazy, doesn't it? Doesn't it? You know what I do when I can't find something? No, it's not call my wife. Okay, maybe I would call my wife. But the second thing I would do, after I couldn't find what I was looking for, I would start looking for places where the lost item, the keys or whatever, couldn't possibly be. Right? If it's not in the usual places, you've got to look where it couldn't be. Einstein's definition of insanity, you know it? Do you remember it? It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's crazy. If you looked every place, all the usual places for your keys, and then not there, if you just keep on keeping on the usual places, it's a real waste of time, and pretty soon you're going to lose whatever little bit of mind you had left in the first place. As President Bush once misspoke, a mind is a terrible thing to lose. Imagine the unimaginable, looking in all the unusual places, thinking new thoughts, trying new things, opening ourselves to a new vision, imagining what through God's abundant power might be. Again, Einstein wrote, imagination is everything. Imagination is more important than knowledge. Imagination is the preview of life's coming attractions. What do you want? What do you want for your life? What do you want for this church? What kind of a church do you want Fisk to be? And what kind of a world do you want to live in? Do you want your grandkids to live in? What do you want? What beyond our wildest dreams are we willing to allow God to accomplish through us? When do the sick get healed? When do the hungry get fed? When do the dead get raised?